You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
Ooh, what is up, Bison fans? Welcome to this Gold Rush edition. Welcome to this UND edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. I'm your host and the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, Ross Uglum. I am fresh with news, all sorts of news. We haven't gotten together in a minute, so we have, you know, a little bit of news in that North Dakota State has made some moves. They've hired Jason Petrino as their defensive coordinator. Jason having been the coordinator at Southern Illinois for a minute here. Cousin of Bobby Petrino, if you're looking for his, famous last name there. But, you know, some successful times. Certainly was the defensive coordinator during that 38-14 beatdown that SIU gave NDSU in the spring season. Has had, I think, when you look a little bit deeper into the stats, I think he's had defensive that have performed over their talent level, over their overall talent level. Maybe it gives them a chance to be a little bit more multiple too, some odd front stuff from SIU over the years. You just never know what they might want to evolve this Bison defense into. Certainly, I would guess that everything's on the table after that championship game performance. Not that necessarily, the old thing, but ain't broke, don't fix it. I don't know that it's broke, but it wasn't great during the run there in the national championship game against South Dakota State. Pro Bison news, Cordell's Bengals taking on the Chiefs in the AFC Championship, or Trey's 49ers in the NFC Championship taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. I believe both teams are road underdogs, but might still get a Bison in the Super Bowl or two either way. South Dakota State, with an incredibly original idea, they're going to play Drake at Target Field this fall as their 11th game. Obviously something that North Dakota State has already done in a wildly successful opening game there at Target Field. Trey Lance's first start at Target Field. One of my favorite shots that I've ever taken with the camera was Trey trotting out of the dugout there at Target Field onto the playing surface for his first action as a Bison starter. So very impressive, very impressive stuff there from South Dakota State, just recycling an old NDSU idea. Noah Pauley headed to Iowa State, their offensive coordinator, moving off the wide receivers and moving to the quarterback coach position and filling that spot at wide receiver with Nate Shielhaze, filling that spot at wide receiver coach with NDSU wide receiver coach Noah Pauley. Noah's a superstar and one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. Beautiful young family. Enjoyed seeing them outside of football out at the Oxbow Country Club. Just phenomenal people. And Noah was one of the great ones. I think you really could see an uptick in performance from that group when Noah got involved, certainly with the late period Shep, most of Christian Watson's career. I just thought Noah did an excellent job with those wide receivers, and I'm glad if it was even for one season that he was able to get his hands on super talented guys like Mekhi Collins, like Carson Hagerly, like Cedric Wall, guys that could be the future of that room. Like I said, I'm glad, and I'm sure Coach Entz will make a good hire there, but I'm just glad that he had the time, had the chance to get with those younger guys for a year. The Bison obviously have scholarship money opening up. Don't be surprised if some of that gets spent here on the transfer portal market. The portal itself is closed, but obviously you have access to kids already in said portal. They can commit to you. But NDSU is money opening up. Carter Crewalt decommitted from, he's a safety. He decommitted from UMD, Minnesota Duluth, and will come to NDSU. And I know before you stick up your nose at that, like there are a lot of Bison greats whose other best offers were Division II or were late flips, like a Darius Shepherd. And obviously they're not Division II, but Darius Shepherd, a late flip from USD when the Bison lost a wide receiver commit late. No, NDSU does not want to continue to replace third and fourth year players in the program or graduate seniors in the program with 18-year-old freshmen. But if you're going to get a talented athlete and try and figure out what he is, because some scholarship money opened up, it's not the worst thing in the world. Joining us now, our good friend, Mr. Nate Zastrow. Nate, how you doing, big guy?
It's been a long day with a snowstorm up here in Wisconsin, and travel's been pretty fun. Basketball-wise, just a little bit of a disappointing weekend for our Bison with the home games last week, but hopefully can turn the tide here with a home game against rival UND, who we had our way with last time, and hopefully come out with the same fire tonight.
Yeah, I really felt like NDSU needed a split last weekend. I might have mentioned that, you know, whether you lose to ORU and just take care of business against Kansas City, or you beat ORU and you hand them their first league loss, and maybe Kansas City snaps you up in a looking ahead game or in a letdown game after a big win. But to lose both those games was a killer. That wasn't great. And North Dakota State in a tough spot now at 5-4 in the league coming into that weekend of home games, 5-2 in the league. To say that it was the worst possible outcome is obvious. That's you're not paying us the medium bucks to come up with that kind of analysis, but a big deal. You know, it was a big deal to drop those two games. I mean, Oral Roberts just shot the shit out of it. They played as high a level of basketball game as I've seen them play all year. And that's not to make an excuse. It's just to tip your cap. They were extremely good in the Shack, whether we're talking about McBride, whether we're talking about Max, or even just that crazy element that the 7'5" Connor Vanover brings to the table. They're just playing a different level of ball, and a level of ball that NDSU was able to match for half, was able to match for stretches. But man, when ORU came out and scored the first 11 points of the second half, it was just over. NDSU just didn't have the experience, the firepower, whatever, to take that punch and go at our ORU that night.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was ORU's best effort, especially on the offensive end. And we've talked about it. The reason they've taken that next step is them on the defensive end. And NDSU showed some strides forward on the offensive end, trying to keep them, but eventually you knew that they were going to need to kind of bear down defensively and get some stops. And I think the biggest stretch of the game, and we talked about it, was I think ORU had that big second half run, and NDSU held them like 5 minutes straight without a field goal, without a point, and NDSU couldn't. I don't think they got it lower than 8 or 9 during that stretch. And I think that was the game, because you knew ORU was going to pick up their offense again at some point in the second half. And they had a great defensive game plan in the second half. They made things tough for Grant. They made things tough for Bowden. And I think we saw some of our young guys kind of see some more experienced players in the league and had some moments where hopefully they can learn from and carry that forward and make it a learning moment for them.
For sure. And the one thing that I think is clear, and I don't know that it necessarily was coming into the season. I think people probably felt it was possible, especially with Max returning. But I think, you know, obviously as a Bison fan, you've ended Oral Roberts' season 3 out of the last 4 years. And you've seen like a Bowden Skunberg take away Max in big spots, one in Tulsa last year, one in Fargo last year, one in Sioux Falls last year. It's like, okay, yeah, whatever. Oral Roberts is whatever, you know, screw Paul Mills. Like, we'll take care of business. They look like the class of the league. I mean, to me, they look like I would say a heavy betting favorite down in Sioux Falls. Now they've been at least, I don't know about heavy betting favorite, but they've been in that spot in the past and not gotten the job done. But I do think that Oral Roberts is the top team in the league. And I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah. I think they've kind of separated themselves, and I don't think many people really saw that, obviously with South Dakota State still being the pick to win the league. But I think just offensively and defensively, it's going to be a tough team to keep up with, because even if their offense isn't clicking at any certain point in the game, which we saw with a few different spurts in the NDSU game, you still got defenders who can get up into you because you have a 7-5 guy sitting at the rim who averages 4 block shots a game. And that makes things a lot easier for them defensively. It allows them to pressure a lot more. And teams aren't going to be able to score it. Not all teams are going to be able to score 83 a game. And I don't care how hot they are at any certain point in the game, and you still got a guy in Asmus who can go get you 30 or 40 on any given night and carry the team. So it's going to be tough for anyone to beat them if they play the way they did in Fargo. I will say that. But like you said, in Sioux Falls, you got to win 3 games. You got to play your best games for 3 straight games. And we've seen it before, and anything can happen down there. And there's a big logjam now with NDSU and about 5 or 6 teams. I think it's going to be important for them to either be in that 2-3 range or that 6-7 range. Probably, actually, you said the new seating, so not the 7 range. So I think they want to try to get in that 2-3 range so that they're not playing them in a semifinal.
Yeah, and that's something that we'll talk about in a little bit, is just how things shake out. And it's less now than it used to be. You know, you want to stay out of that play-in game, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it used to be, it's like, whatever, it's a three-game season. You know, almost like the regular season was irrelevant, you know, unless you're trying to get that NIT bid. By the way, still NDSU has never been to the NIT, because anytime they win the league, they do end up winning the tournament. But yeah, that's something we can talk about in a little bit. And ultimately, NDSU's one full, it's tough, it's tight. And that's what we're talking about here, is NDSU's one full game behind the number 2 seed SDSU, with Western and KC above them, a half game above them. They're only one full game out of the play-in. You know, they're 5-4. There's a 4-5 team there that's the 7 seed. We're not completely out of the woods of, you know, potentially being in that Friday night scenario, which is, you know, they've won 3 games in 3 days to go to the tournament. I don't know that anybody wants to try and win 4 to win 4-5. That just doesn't sound all that fun.
Yeah, and I think the big thing we talked about is we had the 5 road games locked in at 5-2, and now we got 3 home games. We still go to both South Dakota schools, and we still go to Kansas City and Oral Roberts. I mean, those are 2 tough road trips in the month of February, so it's going to be really important for NDSU to take care of their home court, especially tonight, and with their home trip with Omaha and Denver and a St. Thomas and Western, and maybe you can get a couple splits on the road. But I don't know if you can count on that with the South Dakota road trip and the way Oral Roberts is playing, and Kansas City seems to have your number. So protecting home court's going to be really important here in February.
Yeah, they got to win games. I mean, that sounds extremely simple, but they've got to win games. Folks, yep. Bison Report Radio is brought to you by Fargo Basketball Academy. They're just the top. I mean, there's no comparison for what they do outside of your school or your AAU structure from a basketball training perspective. They've got classes, private lessons, small group lessons, and team trainings for all skill levels and ages in both basketball and volleyball. And Shoot 360 is just such cool technology. It's the most advanced and cutting edge tech training in the world for young hoopers. Something I would have just absolutely dreamed of as a kid, the ability to shoot, have a robot rebound for me, and also keep stats on what it is that I'm doing. Check out a potential Shoot 360 membership right now. Go see the wonderful people at Fargo Basketball Academy and Shoot 360 at fargobasketball.com or right there on 52nd Avenue. All right. A special treat for you Bison fans right now. Got about 6-7 minutes with the head ball coach, Dave Richmond, right now.
Coach, a 5-game winning streak, and then you dropped 2 at home. You talked a lot about getting away from things that you were doing well. What were you guys – what did you get away from?
You know, gone back and looked at numbers, we're giving up over 50% in our four losses in league play. We're minus three on the glass. We've got a negative assist turnover ratio. Defend, rebound, take care of the ball are the staples. And I think sometimes making shots is a security blanket, you know, like it was in the first half against ORU. But we can't hang our hat on those things. Is it great when you're making shots? Certainly. Am I apologizing? Am I mad that we made shots? No, I'm not. But I'm disappointed in the lack of consistency in the defending, rebounding, taking care of the ball categories.
We talked after I asked you after the Saturday game whether or not this would be a great opportunity to work on yourselves. A one-game week, the game is on a Friday. Have the Bison had a chance to work on the Bison?
Yeah, we have. And I'm a transparent guy, Ross. I was disappointed in who we were Monday afternoon at practice. I didn't think we came in with some lingering effects from the weekend and not locked into the moment. To our guys' credit, they were a lot better on Tuesday. We were off on Wednesday. And here this afternoon, we'll see how we are. But I think that's the roller coaster. I know that's the roller coaster that we're on, and the roller coaster that we're going to continue to be on if we don't make sure we're locked into every moment and using every opportunity to get better.
Personally, I think for a game that wasn't against South Dakota State, that atmosphere against Oral Roberts was about as good as I've seen. What's your hope for Friday? I mean, the marketing department going with the gold rush, obviously the color that the two schools don't have in common. What can you hope for from an atmosphere on a Friday night?
Well, just very appreciative, in particular of our students Thursday, you know, to come out. Bailey and our marketing staff, you know, did a great job. I know the bucket hats, you know, any little quirky little thing.
I was looking for a box of those. I couldn't find
it. Any little quirky little thing that someone can grab and take home is great. And that plays a big part of why I coach is the spirit and atmosphere that is college athletics. It's our guys love atmospheres like that. And so hopefully we can continue to build. I mean, you know, when we went up there, they had a good crowd. When we were up at North Dakota and Grand Forks, and hopefully just the in-state rivalry and, you know, a Friday night, we'll see how that translates.
Everybody, it seemed to almost get on your nerves. Everybody talks about this as a young team. So, hey, Kansas City's a young team. But do you ever get the feeling that they can have more of like a goldfish memory? Can these guys move faster? Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, after disappointments, can you kind of just move to the next thing because they're younger?
Well, I get it, and I like that, you know, because, you know, the reality is we're probably going to lose another game, Ross, at some point, you know, this year, and we've got to do that. I think some of that's on me, too, of just, you know, moving on a little bit quicker if it's a day in between and celebrating some things as well. But, you know, just always been motivated to get better. And when you're on a roller coaster, you're not getting better. Yeah, at times are you getting better? Absolutely. But at the other times, you're taking steps backwards. And we need to find that slow, steady climb.
I noticed, you know, Javis getting the backup point guard minutes, asked you about it a little bit after Kansas City. You said, right now, man, everything is on the table. Luke's done, you know, I think what he's been asked, but is there a chance for a shorter rotation, or do you just feel like, man, we have all these ball handlers, let's matchup base some stuff, let's look at, you know, different things we can do?
Yeah, there's a bunch of conversations that go into that. Probably the one solid is you know, Damari's been really good as far as, in particular, taking care of the ball. He's got to do a lot better job of staying out of foul trouble. You know, that's been costly, and, you know, over this past weekend, him getting in foul trouble. Lance Waddles is a guy we've been experimenting, you know, on the point with. You know, he can make shots like he did the other day against Kansas City. He's got some good athleticism. I think he's got a chance to be a defender, good defender as he works. To Javis is clearly, and he'll tell you this, better and more comfortable at the two, but open to some things at the one. And Luke does, you know, is solid, does a good job too. So, yeah, I think you're, as a coach, you're trying to find that rhythm, that consistency, and it's a big piece of it, starting at the one.
Can you speak to Lance's kind of mental state? Just, you know, he has family here, but obviously from a very long way away, and fell basically completely out of the rotation for a couple of games there. All of a sudden now, you know, he's getting big time minutes in a home league game against Kansas City. Can you just kind of speak to him staying mentally in it?
Really proud. That's really, really hard. I mean, you're a guy that's around athletics, Ross, and you get it. And we've done some things to crank it up on some of those red shirt guys, lower minute guys. And, you know, Coach Miller calls them, you know, the Devo group, the development group. And hasn't complained, continued to work, and really answered the call when his number was called the other day, and pleased to see how he and we can take that. And some of that too was then on me to find some minutes for him, for Sam Hostreiter, to find some rhythm as we continue to go and as we started now in this back half of the league already.
You were tremendously successful in Grand Forks this run. I mean, that had to go about the way you want it. Seems to me like they're playing better ball. They found their first league win. What are they doing better, and what do you guys need to be kind of prepared for tomorrow?
Well, I just see a group that's kind of found an identity a little bit as far as rotations, consistency, what they're playing through, how they're playing through some things. Norman is really, really shooting the ball extremely well. Sarcisi is playing well. Trent has established himself as the one. I think he's comfortable there and, really plays off of his own strength and weaknesses, understanding who he is. And I just think when you know your minutes for a good portion of it, you know who's taking shots, where those shots are coming from, you start to grow. And to their credit, to Paul's credit, their staff's credit, you can see them growing along this way.
How do you kind of stress the importance of this game without making it too big for a younger group?
Well, I mean, it's pretty easy right now, especially coming off of the weekend that we just had. You know, you're stressing, let's get better, guys. Am I also encouraged that it's UND and there's an in-state rivalry component to it to engage our guys a little bit more? I am, and we're not going to shy away from those things. But I still think, no matter who it is, where it is, it's about us getting better, and that's my disappointment at post-game Saturday. That's my disappointment in our practice Monday. You can sense it a little bit. We're not taking at every advantage we can to get better, and youth, not youth, whatever it is, that's not us.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
All right, I want to thank Dave for his time. Always great to catch up with the head man, and a little bit of an antsy head man, a little bit of a frustrated head man. I think with that 5-game winning streak, I would guess that he probably, felt like they didn't have the world by the tail, maybe didn't feel like they were the best team in the league, but probably felt like he had a little bit more of a grasp on things than he feels like right now. How about these Fighting Hawks, Nate? They're getting better, right? I mean, it seems like they are the last place team in the league, but it seems like they're getting better, right?
Yeah, I think ever since that game right after Christmas with NDSU where they got piss pounded, and you could hear in Sather's interviews, he was really upset with their lack of effort and how hard they played, and just talked about how NDSU played so much harder. So you knew they were going to come out with some fire. And I mean, the next weekend they lose by 2 to South Dakota on what they're going to call a controversial call. They lose to South Dakota State by 1 at home on, I think it was another controversial call was a questionable one. They've played teams close. I mean, KC and Oral Roberts, they lost by double digits, but lost to Denver by 7, Omaha by 6. They're shooting a bunch of threes and shooting it a lot better. I mean, they just beat UMKC, who NDSU, you mentioned, didn't beat, and hit 18 threes in the game. I mean, if NDSU cannot let them get going from the three-point line, and I actually looked at the Summit League stats, and they're second in the conference behind Oral Roberts in made threes, with some teams even playing 10 games. So it's going to be important to make them score from the two-point line, and I think NDSU did a great job in the first matchup of making them score over Nelson and Morgan at the rim, and I think that's what UND struggled with. So I think that's going to be NDSU's big thing is UND gives up the highest percentage of three-point percentage in the conference, and they make the second most. So stop them from hitting threes and do what you did last time and pound the ball inside, and it'll open up the perimeter for you for open looks.
Absolutely. North Dakota State, or excuse me, North Dakota fought with ORU, I think, to a degree we probably didn't foresee, right? And they beat Kansas City at home, which was a feat that North Dakota State could not accomplish. These types of common opponent things, the transitive property of basketball doesn't always apply. You certainly look at when they matched up before and NDSU beating the brakes off them on their home floor. But you get the vibe that despite their overall record, despite their league record, that they are getting better. At least that's what it looks like.
Yeah, and you, like I said, from the previous matchup, I mean, Coach Sather's got his team playing a lot harder, and you know he's going to make them watch that film again and see how much harder NDSU played in that matchup and how much they literally dominated the game from start to finish. So I expect UND to come out with some fire. Obviously, it's a rivalry game, and they still have a bad taste in their mouth from the last matchup. So NDSU shouldn't have any big pride thing going on previous matchup after you lose two straight at home. So they should be coming out with some fire and want to get this one at home.
For sure. Jason Miller, the strength coach, could potentially have a big factor in this one just because North Dakota snuck in a makeup game against Western Illinois. I think Trenton Massner put 46 on them. That was something. But this will be their fourth game in 8 days because they did sneak in a trip out, I believe, and it was a roadie too. I think they hopped out to Macomb to make that one up. So this, in theory, this UND team should not have legs quite like NDSU has legs coming into this one, Nate.
Yeah, and I think that going to definitely play a factor. And you got Ahmed played 36 minutes, Danielson 35. I mean, they basically went six deep with Norman playing 31, Sartsitsi, or however you pronounce it, 32 minutes. I mean, they had a lot of guys playing a lot of minutes on Monday. Obviously, you got a couple days rest, but you still got a travel day in between and recovery, and you're not really getting in full loaded practices when you've played that many games. So it'll be interesting to see how the legs hold up and how deep maybe they go into their bench tonight against NDSU.
Yeah, one thing is clear now. Mankato East, BJ Omot, he is their best guy. I think that's pretty clear, which is kind of wild, obviously, with him being a true freshman, you know, and being 6'8 and all of 175. But he is, I think it's pretty clear that he is the straw that stirs the drink there for UND. And if we've learned anything about UND, he's going to hit the portal as soon as the season is over, potentially after winning freshman of the year in the Summit League. You just leave. Shouts to God, what was the point guard's name? The one that went to JMU.
Marlon Stewart? No.
No. That's the transfer in from Creighton.
Oh, I can't think of his name.
I'll get it here in a second. Shouts to...
You're not thinking of Friedel because he was an SDSU. Was it another guy?
No, Tyree Iheanacho. Iheanacho won freshman of the year, transferred out, made way for Paul Bruns, who won freshman of the year, and then did what?
Transferred
out. I'm kidding. BJ's not going to maybe probably not transfer out.
Maybe.
Yeah, they're balanced. Omots, he's at 11 a game right now. He started all 22 games for them. It's very clear from the get-go that he was going to be their guy. He's leading UND in block shots, obviously leading them in scoring. Shoots at 33% from distance. So, you know, a reason, you know, you have to at least pay attention when he's out there. He's not you know, leading the conference, certainly not leading UND, but he's not an efficient player. So when you're 39% from the field and you're leading your team in scoring, you know, that's an interesting deal to me. You know, you'd like to see guys with a little bit better field goal percentage leading your team in field goal attempts, because that's not even close. He is far and away leading North Dakota in field goal attempts, but he's an interesting player. He's a unique player, I think. Who guards Omot, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, he's got some length. I think using Bowden with his strength and physicality to kind of make him put the ball on the floor and try to drive to the basket. If he wants to shoot it from three, great. You know, just make sure he's shooting contested looks. He shot it pretty decent here recently. I'm looking at his previous games. He hit three threes against KC, four threes against ORU, struggled a little bit against Western. So he's had some games where he's been a bit of a streaky shooter, but I think running him off the line and making him use that slim frame, trying to get to the basket and kind of being physical with him, I think is the best way to do that. I would say to have Jakari on him, but Jakari seems to be a guy who's going to kind of pick up a more primary ball handler. So I can see him on like a Norman to start. And yeah, I think you go from there. Let Grant and Morgan control the paint. And yeah, that's what I think will happen.
Yeah. They've really settled on Norman as their primary point guard. He is playing a lot. 26 minutes against Denver on the 14th, 24 minutes against Kansas City on the 23rd, then 32 minutes against ORU and 31 minutes again against Western. And really scoring it. 18 against Denver, 17 against Kansas City, 12 against ORU, 18 against Western. And this is, you know, after a pretty kind of ho-hum start to the season outside of a nice performance against Pacific. They got blown out by Pacific. Matt Norman, though, is a guy who I think shoots it reasonably well. Certainly 45% from the field and 43% from downtown. Like, that's a guy you have to close out on. Not huge assist numbers, 28 assists over 22 games. It's not a ton, especially, you know, you look at the other assist guys. Sartsidé has 24 assists. Eagle Staff has 25 assists. Omot has 25 assists. So when your starting point guard is not, you know, far and above your leading assist guy, he is leading UND in turnovers, which is something, you know, you might see when you have a starting point guard. But what does Norman bring to the table? 6'4", you know, a little bit, like I said, some experience. He's a junior, but they've really settled, I think, on him as their point man.
Yeah, and I think the big thing with UND is they were just looking for someone to just be solid and take care of the ball. I mean, they're third here. I'm looking here, third in the conference in turnovers, so they're averaging about 12 a game. So just having someone solid, be able to get some guys some open shots. I know you just talked about his assist numbers aren't great, but he's a good size. He can guard some other point guards like Max, who he'd have some size advantage on. And I guarantee it's just because he's playing hard and gives them their best option at the point. And the last few games, you can tell he's played a lot of minutes the last few. And I don't expect that to change with them playing a little bit better here recently.
For sure. For sure. How does NDSU attack UND when they're on offense? We talked about who we think guards Omot. I'm sure they'll probably put Jakari on Norman, Skunberg on Omot. And although, you know, you never know what they might want to do with Damari as well. But how does where is UND weak? NDSU was very successful against North Dakota in the opener. Or I shouldn't say the opener. I keep saying the opener. I'm trying to block out NDSU's losses at Western and at St. Thomas from my mind. But 71-49, I mean, they really beat the brakes off of UND up in Grand Forks. Grant with 18, Morgs with 15. Is that the answer? Is it because Sartsidé is not all that in a bag of chips defensively? And obviously with Omot being 180 pounds, is that also problematic if they can't really get Mitchell Sucre to anchor down in there?
Yeah, I think that's where you got to start. And I think UND is going to come with some different double team coverages. Morgan obviously had a very efficient game, 7-for-9 on the last time. And Grant obviously was still efficient as well, 6-for-11. But I think NDSU needs to start down there. And I mean, last game, 10-for-21 from the 3 for NDSU, but I think that's because they started by pounding the ball inside. I expect UND's bigs to battle, and I think they will. And you're obviously looking at the rebounding numbers too, which UND will be. It was 41-27 for NDSU, and UND shot 21 free throws to NDSU's 13. So, I mean, it's not that they didn't get to the free throw line. NDSU just simply played harder and had a big matchup advantage inside. And I think I don't going to be too stubborn by trying to do anything different but pound the ball inside to start and see how they defend that.
Okay. This game's absolutely crucial. That's my opinion. You look at what the Bison have coming up. Again, I think you would have loved to be, you know, 6-3, excuse me, coming into this weekend. You'd have loved to have been 7-2. That would have been awesome. But you'd have been loved to have been 6-3 coming out of last weekend. Beat ORU, lose to KC, all the way around, whatever. Beating ORU would have been fun. But I mean, you would have liked to have been three games clear of 500 instead of one. You're not. Okay. Get over it. You're not. You've got I think you could get really healthy the next week with home at Omaha and home Denver. You can get healthy there. But I don't know that they'll be able to go get one at South Dakota or one at South Dakota State. I don't know. Not the way they look right now. I mean, I could have they beat UND by 25 tonight. I could have a completely different opinion about that road trip after this game. But you lose this one, you go to 5-5. You could be 5-7 fast, needing a home sweep of Omaha and Denver just to stay out of the damn play-in game. I think this one is absolutely necessary, Nate. They have to get this win.
Yeah, I you said it. You're right on. They need this win because I know South Dakota isn't playing great. They still have a lot of capable scorers and players, and playing at home, they're going to be desperate to stay out of that play-in game too, and playing at home as well. And you know South Dakota State's going to want some revenge, and Frost Arena's a tough place to play, and definitely want to get this one tonight so that you can go into that road trip next week and try to fight for a split there.
Okay, give me your prediction. Got to have it.
I think NDSU, I think they start slow. I think the game starts slow, pretty low scoring, kind of back and forth for about a half, and I think NDSU pulls away in the second half. UND runs out of gas a little bit, and I think it's 74-62 NDSU.
All righty, Nate's at 70. Yeah, I like that. I like the Bison by 10 or 12. I like that as well. All right, folks, thank you so much to Fargo Basketball Academy and Tundra Insurance, our sponsors. Thanks to Nate for his time. Thank to all you wonderful people for listening. Have a phenomenal weekend. Get your ass to the game. Wear gold and go Bison.